Lamed Bet 30B towards the end of the page. 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up. Alright, what were we learning? We learned a brighter between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, who said what? What was a brighter? What was a brighter we learned for last?
But the witnesses of any testimony have to testify together or separately.
Okay, and what was our, who was taking what side?
The first one,
it's good, yeah. Yeah.
There has to be together, and Yeshua ben Korcha to be separate.
Okay, so what's together and what's separate? What does that mean?
Separate means, I think, probably that they have to witness the same event, the same day.
Okay, so that's together.
Together is
the normal case, so that's fine.
Okay, so the other one is that they see one day something that seems to be A to B, and then some other people see something that seems to be A to B on the second day, and may or may not be talking about the same thing.
So what we said that the last thing we looked at was a case of a loan. And alone, there's two types of witnessing. Witnessing the event itself, or witnessing the admission. Because there's two possibilities, so we had combinations, what did he hear? Both witnesses saw a loan, or both witnesses heard an admission, or one heard an admission and one saw the loan, and in which order they came? First the loan, then the admission. And depending on what the order was, or what exactly they saw, what do we see? So we saw that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, according to this opinion of describing what Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha meant, because we don't know what he meant. We have a brighter that says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, it doesn't need to be together. We don't know what he meant. So all the Amoraim are now trying to find out what did he actually mean when he said it doesn't have to be together. So the explanation that we saw was that even though they weren't together, they witnessed two different things. Both witnesses were told about the other one.
About the other witness.
So that was the conclusion of that explanation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. However, the Gemara now gives us a final ruling on the matter. On Lamed Amud Bet. 8 lines up. From the Nahardeans, Nahardei Amrei. The Nahardeans say, now the footnote over here tells me that Nahardeans is a reference to the Amora called Rav Chama. It says C17b. Did you look at that, Yaakov? No?
17.
I didn't check it out. 17b, I don't know why 17b tells us why, presumably, Rav Chama is called the Nahardean. Maybe he's from the Nahardea. Ah, yeah, here we go. We have a list on 17b of terms in the Gemara and what they mean. So, where's the Nahardeans? No, that's Nahardeans. Top C17b1.
This could be. That's
B1?
17b1.
Nahardeh is a place. Yeah, Nahardeh is a place that in Babel. Mm-hmm. Or near to Babel, anyway. But apparently. I can't see it. Amorai de Nahardeh, Rav Chama. When the Torah tells us the Gemara says the Amorai from Nahardeh, it means Rav Chama. And so here, when we have the Nahardeh.
Footnote?
No, not the footnote, the text itself. Over here.
Okay.
It's all a list of different terms. There's one there that says like three quarters of the way down, the Amoraim of Neharadir signifies Rav Chama. Okay, anyway, so that's just to tell us who's saying it when it says Neharadim. So what do they say anyway? They say as follows: Bein Hoda'a Acha Hoda'a, whether it's an admission following an admission. Bein Hoda'a Acha Hava, whether it's a Hoda'a following alone. Bein Hava'a Acha Hava'a, or even alone following alone. Bein Hava'a Acha Hoda'a, or even alone following an admission. Mitzalfot, they all join together. Right, we said only some of them join together because some of them look like you're talking about a different loan, depending which order they came. But according to Rav Chama, it doesn't matter. Kaman, who does he go like in order to say that? Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha. So he cites Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha as the source of his ruling. That's his understanding what Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha means when he says that you don't need to witness together. We don't have any further explanation.
So they're talking about all four different possibilities.
Right. So according to this, the footnote says, let's see the Rashi. Sarafin. Did we come or come? Hen meidim shechayav lo mana, because in any event, so that's why she says that's the svara here. The svara here doesn't really matter, as long as you have testimony, two different witnesses testifying to one mana. It doesn't matter what, whether it's one loan, two loans. We're not really concerned. So two witnesses is good enough, and they can join together. According to that opinion,
there's okay. Something else.
Where?
On footnote 22.
Oh, okay. Yeah, only where they don't.
Only where the creditor doesn't contradict that information.
Right, we're going to see that now anyway. In the next sugya, he's going to bring up that possibility of what happens where you have a contradiction.
That's why I was mentioning a white purse versus a black purse, or new coins versus old coins, or black coins versus white coins.
Right, so that's the sugya now. But the up till there, it doesn't affect, meaning the law that we just learned is a standalone law, regardless of the top. So let's come on to the next bit. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Eidut hamach cheshet zu etzu. Testimony which contradicts this against this one another, but bedikot in bedikot. What's bedikot?
Question
Eidim. Yes, so there's two levels of questioning of Eidim.
There's primary and secondary.
Yeah, we touched on it at the beginning when we started the beginning of the Masechet. Mostly in reference to capital claims, where they examine the witnesses first, but examine the witnesses here also. Even in monetary claims, they examine the witnesses, but it's just not as detailed. But there's
example,
still
time, location, place.
Right. So there's
what was around you.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's two levels of testing the witness. The first level is called hakirot. And the second level is called bedikot. So the hakirot are standard questions that everyone has to answer, and they're just like when, where, how, why, what time, what place. And those are the questions on which the person is liable to hazama. That it took place on a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain time, whatever. And therefore, on those questions, he can be huzamed on, because someone else can come along and say. But that, and if you get those wrong, the testimony is not wrong. Sorry, if you get them contradiction, if you have a contradiction between you and your fellow chappy and the hakirot questions, then we throw the case out because it's pretty fundamental. But in the bedikot questions, It depends what the questions are, because they're not fixed questions. And it depends whether the question we're asking now is a fundamental question or whether it's not so crucial as to whether or not a contradiction is a problem or not.
What fundamental question would be like, if it's a loan, how much money?
Exactly, right? How much money he lent. If you can't agree on how much money he lent, for sure you're not witnessing, you haven't got two witnesses. One says he loaned 100, the other said he loaned 50.
So a supplemental question.
So you don't have two witnesses to a 100 loan.
So a supplemental question with that would be, is it new money or old money? Black coins or white coins?
Well, that's what the Gemara uses, which is not really helpful for us because we don't know what that means. But in our terms, it would be questions that don't have regard to the actual claim itself. Right, so if we're claiming a certain amount of money, so it's not questions relating to the actual claim, it's subsidiary questions like...
what was he wearing?
What was he wearing? What was he wearing? If there was some, why would you ask what he was wearing, maybe? If there was some doubt as to whether or not it was actually him standing there and receiving the loan. All right, anyway, so let's see what the Gemara says about this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, if you have a contradiction in these bedikot questions, Kishera Bedinei Mamanot, it's fine, it's valid in the case of Dinei Mamanot, right? Meaning, it wouldn't necessarily be valid in the case of capital crimes. We saw in Brachot, was it Brachot, where they asked about the olive, the thickness of the leaves, of the stems?
Yeah, the stems, yeah.
Right, if you get that wrong, right? So here we're going to see, we're not so mathemy. Like Rabbi Yaakov said, we've got here a difference between a white person and a black person. It's not a problem, right? Which is a much bigger difference than the thickness of the stems of the tree. So in capital crimes, we're a lot more exact because we're going to kill the guy on the basis of that testimony, or we're going to punish him. Right, but here, what we're just trying to do is find out between A and B who's telling the truth. So the accuracy of the witnessing is not so crucial.
It's like someone says, the loan took place at McDonald's, and the other person said it took place at, was it Cafe Hillel?
There's a huge difference. Tough. Now that's a question. That's a question that you
get. I sort of like guessing. In a Cafe Hillel or because
that would be a chakira question, where it took place, because then you could get hazama on the basis that you weren't in that place at that time. I was never in Cafe Hillel. McDonald's for sure. I was in Cafe Hillel.
Well, not here.
So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rava. Rava says, "Mistabra milte de Rabbi Yehuda." It's mistabra, it's logical what Rabbi Yehuda said. Why? Oh, when? In which case? Be'achad omer, where one says, ba'arnakei shechora, one says a black purse. Be'achad omer, ba'arnakei levana, one says a white purse. Right? Then it doesn't matter. Then what Rabbi says is, it's fine, it's fair enough. We agree that it doesn't matter what the purse was. But Aval, echad omer maneh shechor, echad omer maneh lavan, ein mistafin. But if one witness says it was white money, and the other one says it was black money, then we don't allow it. What's the difference? What's white money and black money?
So new coins versus old coins.
Two different types of coins.
And you can easily tell the difference.
Right, so one says he gave it in shekels, in coins. The other one says he gave it in notes. I saw him count out 100 notes. I saw him count out 100 coins. So clearly, there's two different testimonies going on. Right, so they don't join, even though they're both saying 100 mana. So it depends so Rava is qualifying Rabbi Yehuda and saying, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda. But only in some cases where the testimony contradicts each other, it doesn't matter. Black purse, white purse, irrelevant to the fact that money was given across. That's a crucial bit of the testimony. But if the thing that we're talking about itself is what we're arguing about, then it doesn't work. Okay. So the Gemara is saying, you told us, Rava, that in the case of monetary, that this wouldn't be a problem. implying therefore that in the case of nefashot, it would be. Right? We said, kashera b'dine mamanot. In mamanot, it would be fine. So the Gemara says, right, makes a diyuk from that. You said mamanot's fine, must be. Nefashot wouldn't be fine. So the Gemara says, arnakesh yechora b'dine nefashot lo. And if you had a black purse, I mean, a black purse, white purse, difference in the case of nefashot. Right? Someone's testifying that they killed you with the purse. And then she hit him on the head with a purse 50 times and he died. Well, what colour purse was it? Was it black or was it white? Apparently it doesn't really matter. We just learned. Or it does matter, what he wants to say, in the case of nefashot. Ramah Rav Chista said, Chad omer b'sayit, Rav Chista has a contradiction, or we're bringing Rav Chista, which suggests otherwise. Rama Rav Chista, because Rav Chista said, Achad omer b'sayif hargo. One person said he killed him with a sword. Achad omer ba'ari ran hargo. He killed him with an ari ran. Ari ran is a dagger, according to the translation here. A smaller sword. Right, not such a long knife. Ein zenachon. This is not correct. Meaning, we don't accept it. I don't know why they use the language Ein Zenachon. It's a bit of a strange language to use. But he uses Ein Zenachon. It's not correct. So we don't accept that difference. But which is logical.
There's a footnote.
Is there?
Footnote 26.
Oh, so that's why they use that language. Tov. Adashel Charka, Shalta Hitevi, Ein Emet Nachon Adavar. Okay, he brings it because the pasuk says that you need to investigate and inquire and examine and see v'hinei emet nachon hadavar, whether or not the thing is nachon. So here, in reference to that, the Gemara is saying it's not nachon. Okay. Echad omer kelav shechorim, echad omer kelav levanim. One says his clothes were black, one says his clothes were white. Harei zeh nachon. Then that's okay. So we do accept that. In the clothes. So what? So we see from here that the case of nefashot mirrors the case of mamonot, right? That if you have a contradiction relating to the a central bit of the, so it doesn't work. But if it's not central, then it does work, and that apparently goes against the implicit wording of Rava, that Rava said in the case of mamanot, this is how we dealt with, meaning that it wouldn't work in the case of, right, so how did the Gemara answer? Gavra agavra karamit. Gavra over the page, sorry, gavra agavra karamit.
31.
Gavra agavra, what's gavra agavra? This man, that man. Two different opinions, you're right. Two different opinions. What I think here is gavra gavra occurs to me just now, maybe is just the same way as saying tanai but for amoraim, right? For where we have a tanai dispute, we just say, well, it's a tanai dispute, this tana holds that way, that tana holds this way. But for the amoraim, we say it's one amora against the other, it's one amora's interpretation against the other amora's interpretation. Remit, no, remit to contradict each other. Okay. Yeah, Rav Chista ad Rav Yehuda. Rav Chista against Rav Yehuda. The Rashi says. Tom, back to our Neharadayans. Neharadayans Amrei. We see you, because we have to, what we just learned now doesn't fit with what we learned in Brachot about the stems of the fig tree. Right? If we have to check the stems of the fig tree, how can it be that we can allow one to say he's wearing white clothes, one to say he's wearing black clothes? That's a lot more bolet. Right? So obviously, Gavra Gavra, one holds that you have to be very careful, and one holds that you don't, apparently. I don't know, you'd have to look at why that contradicts. Neharadei Amrei, they say in the Haradim. אפילו אחד אומר מנה שחור ואחד אומר מנה לבן, it's nothing. Now I didn't say differently. We said if it was black money and white money, the money was different, that we wouldn't allow it. But the Nahardians do allow it. They say it doesn't miss nothing.
What is Rashi saying?
About what? About that? No,
yeah,
he didn't
yeah.
say anything so far. He says it doesn't say anything on that. Why not? Because they're going to explain it a bit more. Command. Rabbi Yishuv ben Chocha, like Rabbi Yishuv ben Chocha. So they go back to their Rabbi Yishuv ben Chocha, right, where we heard from the Nahardians that the witnessing doesn't have to be, it can be a loan after a loan, or right, because it doesn't, they don't care if it's the same loan, if it's the same money, if it's the same, right? It just, according to that, as long as you've got an overlap in the claim itself, 100 mana, I have enough people who saw 100 mana, I don't care if it's the same one. So then it's fine. It still joins together. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Eimar de Shamatale L'Rabbi Yishuv ben Chocha. What did you hear regarding from Rabbi Yishuv ben Chocha? Heicha delo mechashu ahadade. This is only where they don't contradict each other. Heicha de machashi ahadade mi amar. But where they do contradict each other, did he say this? Meaning no. What's he saying? You're right. When we explain that Nahardean on the loans, we join together two different testimonies. One saw one loan, one might have saw one loan, one might have saw another loan, one heard an admission, one saw a loan, and then we don't know if they're the same. The Nahardeans, Rav Chama, says it doesn't matter. And that's only in a case where we didn't know they were contradicting each other. But here, where one's black money, one's white money, so for sure there's a contradiction in the thing itself. It's not just two different loans. You saw two different loans, so you could argue whether or not it's the same loan or not. But here there's an actual contradiction. And so we don't know that Rabbi Yishuv ben Chocha, the Gemara is saying, would hold the same thing. We can stretch to allow Rabbi Yishuv ben Chocha to include two different witnessing that don't have to be the same, but not where they contradict each other.
But in what contradiction?
For example, black money and white money.
Right. I mean, like, how much of a contradiction and how little of a contradiction? For the sake of supplemental questions? Or is it just having to do with primary questions?
So, but this black money, white money is a supplemental question.
Right. So we're not dealing with the primary questions.
Because the primary,
question would be like the amount of the loan,
right,
the
so
time, and the location.
Right, so we're not disputing that. Amud Aleph, top of page. That's a given. So where the issue comes is in the supplementary questions, whether they are crucial questions or not to get correct. Okay, so we object to this view that the Nahardeans allow contradicting testimony. Ella, rather, Hudamar Kihai Tana. When they said this, which Tana did they say it in accordance with? Or the Kihai Tana, or the following Tana they said it in accordance with? To Tanya, who's taught it a brighter. Amaram Shimon ben Elazar. Lo nechelku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel al shtei kitei edin. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel didn't argue about two kitei edin. What's two kitei edin? Yeah, cat. Two cats. Not your cats. Don't get excited. Two kitei, not kittens. Kitei are kitty kitty. Cat is a plural of cat. Two cats. Two kitei. So what we're seeing here, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel had an argument about two groups of witnesses. But they weren't arguing about the following, says the writer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He says they weren't arguing regarding she'achat omeret matayim ve'achat omeret maneh, where one says 200 and one says 100, right? Two witnesses, two groups,
two sets,
four witnesses altogether. Each one is a valid set by itself, right? That's why there's two groups. But one group comes along and witnesses and says, I saw 200. And then two other people come along saying, no, we saw him alone 200. What happens now?
Say the rule again. 100 or 200?
Someone comes along, right? There's a court case. Moshe is claiming that Yitzhak owes him money. And he brings Yitzhak to court and says, Yitzhak, you didn't pay me. And the judge says, okay, prove it. And Moshe says, I've got four witnesses. And he brings the four two groups. There's two different sets. The first set came, and why this happened, don't ask me, but this is what happened. Right? Well, the first group come and say, we saw him loan 100 shekel, and he didn't pay it back. Whatever the testimony is. And the second group come and say, we saw him loan 200 shekel, and he didn't pay it back. What happens now? What does the court do? Court can give him 100 shekel. Court can give him 200 shekel. Court can give him no shekels because they're contradicting each other. Could give him split, right? Could give him, right? What if you were the court, you heard that, what would you do? You can't flip a coin. What do you think? According to logic of what you've learned so far, your Torah knowledge, your Talmud knowledge of Sanhedrin, what are we going to do with that? Two witnesses say 100, two witnesses say 200. I think he gets 100.
Well, the amount is a primary question.
Okay, your feet.
And you have two witnesses, which would be one set, agree on one amount. And so you could do by either group of witnesses because two witnesses is considered about testimony.
Right. But what do we do now? Because now they contradict each other. So we're going to see. It's not obvious because it's a machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai.
Right.
And they were great Talmidei Chachamim, so they couldn't agree. Then we don't have to worry that we don't know exactly what the law is.
But we'll never get two answers.
At least.
We'll get two different answers.
At least.
Yeah. do we need to go to Rashi?
Two Jews, three opinions, right?
Right. Rashi on anything?
In a minute, maybe we'll look back. Okay, so so over there, in the case of these two cats, right? One says 100, one says 200. Sheyesh beklal matayim maneh. Sorry, let me read that again. Sheyesh beklal matayim maneh. That there is included within the matayim, there is a maneh, right? So we do have here, although we have a contradiction, where the contradiction is inclusive within the other one. It's not one. If one says he lent him a phone, and the other one said no, he lent him a bicycle, so it doesn't help. We've got one set. We've got a contradiction in the complete contradiction. But what one says here, he lent him 200. One says he lent him 100. There is within the 200, 100.
Right.
Why? Okay, so therefore,
in all money matters, that would be true.
Huh? In money
matters, that would always be true.
Yes, unless they were testifying on the type of coins or the notes, whatever. Yeah. Okay, so because there is included within the 200, 100, so that is not the argument that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai had. Meaning on that, they both agreed. That's where that was fine. What did they disagree on? Al maneh halku. So what did they disagree on, if it wasn't that? Al kat ehad, where there's only one cat, two witnesses. Only one cat. Right? And the same case, where one witness says he saw 200, and the other witness says he saw 100. Then you have the argument Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai omrim nechalka edotan. Beit Shammai say we can divide up the testimony. that we do denote the testimony, sorry, Nechelka Edutan, their testimony is divided. It's a dispute. They're contradicting each other. One says 100 and one says 200. Got two witnesses. We don't accept it. But Hillel Omim, Yesh Bechlau, Matai, Maneh. But Hillel say no, there is still 100 there between them. Right? So this is a different case. This is not our case of Rav Shur ben Korcha that we had before, that with the 100 and 100, two loans, two admissions.
Mm-hmm.
Here we've got two different amounts of money. Do two different amounts of money combine? So we see now it's a dispute, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai say they do not combine, he's very strict, right? Beit Shammai is always the very strict route. If you haven't got two, that does. Not good. Beit Hillel, we've got 100 is still within the 200. And therefore, the guy can come away with 100 shekel. Okay? And that is what, sorry, the end of that sugya is that is what the Nehardeans meant. Because we rejected their first, we said the Nehardeans said that you can join even where they're contradicting each other, right? We said no, that can't be. Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha didn't allow you to contradict each other. He just allowed you to have one after the other, a loan after an admission. But a black purse, black money, white money, he wouldn't have allowed. So what would he have allowed? What were the Nehardeans talking about when they say that even a contradiction? So this type of contradiction, where one is included within the other. But black money is not included within white money. It's two different things. Okay. So we do. Yep.
Rav Rashi.
Right, so Rashi over here is just pointing out, I'm not going to go through word by word, but Rashi's pointing out, here we're talking about a case where one saw a loan on one day, one would saw it, where they contradict each other, Kagon Zemeid Almaneh Shebayom Sheni Vezemeid Bayom Bishon. Right, one saw on one day, one saw another day. They both agree. Each one didn't see the other one. But since they both agree on a maneh, right, he said, therefore it does contradict. I think we're going to move on. Okay, next case of the Gemara. Echad omer chavit shel yayin, echad omer chavit shel shemen. What's the case? Now we've got a different case, right? Now we're each time you see we're trying to get we're building up a framework of what level of witnessing we allow. How do you know when to accept witnesses? At what point are they allowed to contradict each other? At what point do they have to see the same thing? Right? What do we allow in the case of the Torah requirement for having two witnesses? The witness, something relatively similar to each other. So now one's saying it was a barrel of oil, and one was saying it was a barrel of, one's saying a barrel of wine, one's saying a barrel of oil. Which is more expensive, oil or wine?
Wine.
Not. If you go to the shop, you try and buy a bottle of oil and a bottle of wine. It depends on the oil, but you can get...
What kind of wine, what kind of oil? If it's Shemen Zayis, expensive. If it's Shemen, I don't know...
Canola.
Or maybe something even more cheaper.
GMO.
Right. Here... No, hold on. Wine is worth less than oil, sorry. Oil is more expensive. Yeah, because we were talking olive oil, and the wine was, they drank wine like they drank water, right? And it basically was water. But it was, right?
So also, there is a statement of the Gemara somewhere of Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. Like, it's more important that you will have a reputation, a good name, than Shemen Tov. Why Shemen Tov? What? Why not mine? Why not vinegar? Why? Probably because Shemen, it represents something that is expensive. So we want to say that you look...
Shemen is also wisdom. Represents wisdom.
Right. That may be according to Rabbi Nachman.
Oh, okay.
but it's the point is, probably Shemen is representing the, like, it, if it was in that days, so you would say it's better that you have a reputation than you have I don't know, good stocks in the Bursa, where's in America, the bigger
stock market.
Yeah.
So
this is Shemen is probably represent the kilo, the kesef.
Right. Also, the good name is Shemen.
What?
Shemen.
Same stuff in America, in China.
New York Stock Exchange?
Yeah, no, the everything. I mean, I know.
The Nasdaq.
Yeah, but the place in America.
Wall Street.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, speaking of.
Chairman is representing the Wall Street.
Speaking about oil, oil is now $30 a barrel.
Is that? I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means. $30 a barrel. Probably. Anyway, so no, oil, this oil is also probably $30 a barrel.
From the ground. Yeah, Saudi Arabian oil is now $30 a barrel.
Right. Wonderful. Very nice. Okay. Tom, so what are we saying here? So what's our claim? Our claim is that two witnesses come along. One says he owes him a barrel of oil, and the other says he owes him a barrel of wine. Now, before we go any further, we just think at this point, I would have said at this point, well, there's not even a claim here. We've got two different things. It's not money, one included within the other. How can you try and bring two witnesses? One saying a barrel of oil. Forget it. You wouldn't even get past the first step into court with two witnesses like that.
The question I have is, they're closed barrels, right?
They're closed.
But the barrels, even.
How can you tell what's inside a barrel without opening it?
It's a claim. One says he lent it. Oh, I see what you say. If he doesn't know what's in the barrel, he doesn't know what's in the barrel.
Exactly.
So he can't make a claim.
Right.
He has to be able to make a claim. So he has to. He can't walk into court and say, "I saw him hand over a barrel, but I think it might have been oil in there." He has to be able to walk into court and make a claim. A witness. So point being a witness. If you don't know what was in the barrel.
Right.
So you have to be someone who was either there at the time that the lid was put on, or barrels are, you lifted up, you knew that it contained them. You'd have to have some reason to know, otherwise
right, that's my point.
All right, but that's implicit within the argument that you know what's in there. So what happened in this case? How about Ubda? Right, this actually occurred. It's not just a silly idea. It actually occurred. How about Ubda? And it came before Rav Ami to judge. Chayve Rabbi Ami lishlomei lechavita de chamra, and Rav Ami made him pay the value of a barrel of wine. Migo chavita de meshicha, from within the barrel of oil. Why? Which is?
There is at least 100 in the 200. The value of the wine will definitely be included in the value of the wine.
Right. So what happened here? Here we're saying it's not two different claims. If one comes along, if one witness comes along and says he lent him his iPhone, and the other one comes along and says he lent him his bicycle, we don't say that the iPhone is more expensive, so just pay him an iPhone. Right? Because it's clearly two different witnesses. You didn't see the same thing. We don't have witnesses. But if we saw a barrel... So we agree that that for sure he lent him a barrel of something. And it's just a mistake and a misunderstanding about what was actually in the barrel. But we believe... But where we've got two different things completely, you can't rely on this and say, well, you see from here, one was a barrel of oil, one was a barrel of wine, so it doesn't matter what you lent him. just take this, just subtract the higher one from the lesser one. It's not simply a case of value. It's because it was a barrel that was handed over. And what was inside the barrel, that's what the argument was. But that's okay. Say that? Gemara says, command. Who? Who? Like, who does this ruling go? How did Rab Ami allow that? Answer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. If we want to say it's like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? We just learnt him. He was the one that brought the dispute between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Right? Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, that dispute centered around the fact that 200 shekel includes 100 within it. So if you want to say that he's following Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, to give that ruling, that was because there is within 200, 100. Ki hai gavna miyamar. But something like this, did he say? The Gemara is saying it's not the same thing. Here is not 200 included within 100. 100 included, right? Here, you've got two different items. There you had shekels and shekels. It would be like the saying, one said he gave him a full barrel of oil, and the other said no, he only gave him a half barrel of oil. So fair enough. But not to have two different, one says it was wine, one says it was oil. You've got two, according to this, you've got two different testimonies that contradict each other. Right, one's a dagger, one's a knife, one's a black money, one's white money. Right, we didn't allow black money and white money, so why we should allow wine and oil, which seemed more different. Nachon?
We go back to looking at the barrel, not the contents. We can't tell what's in it.
Right, but if you had a purse,
that's my question.
If you had a but if you can claim that there's a difference between black money and white money. One says black money and one says white money, and we don't allow the testimony. Why is that different than one saying oil and one saying wine? Well, we allow that testimony.
The cover is different.
Yeah, but they have to testify.
No, the black and the white, different color on the outside, the barrel.
But they can't. But the testimony, the witness is saying he believes that it's wine, and he's believing that it is oil. It's not saying I don't know what was in the barrel. Maybe it was wine. And the other one saying I don't know what was in the barrel. Maybe it was oil. He's not saying that.
He makes his decision on, let's say, smell, or
he was there. He says he was there, and I still seal the barrel, or whatever it has to be. It has to be something that he can testify in court that he knows. He's not going to testify on a doubt. I think it could have been. No, he's testifying that he thinks it is. He understands that that was oil.
He shouldn't accept your testimony.
Yes, I'm saying, according to this, we shouldn't accept that testimony, because it's like the black money, white money case. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha ledame. Rav Ami, it was necessary to value. What's he saying? So what's he saying? So Rashi says now, so he says you're right. You know, if they testified one was a barrel of oil and one was a barrel of wine, we wouldn't allow it. It is the black money, white money case. We don't accept that. It's two different things. However, what was the actual case? Ladame, the value. It was a barrel which was worth the amount of oil, and a barrel which was worth, let's see the Rashi, that's a footnote. Dame, no, dame here. I'm saying dame means dame money. You could say like that. Let's see, Rashi. Ki ha'ledami zeomer b'fnei hodali demei chavit. This one says, in front of me, he admitted demei chavit shel yain, that it was money at the value of a barrel of wine. Vezeomer b'fnei hodah, and this one said, in front of me, he admitted the money of the value of a barrel of oil. The Talveh Masade Ahade Chavit Yain. Because both of them together are witnessing the value of wine, the lesser one. What's he saying? He's saying that it's exactly the same case as the 200-100. But instead of expressing it in the case of 200 shekel, 100 shekel, he told me, I lent him money, or he owes me money, whichever way it was, I lent him money at the value of a barrel of wine. And then one comes along and says, he admitted that he lent him money, or he owes him money, the value of a barrel of oil. So they're actually characterizing in that fashion, it wasn't the actual barrel of oil, but it wasn't the barrel itself that he lent. If they witnessed a barrel of oil against a barrel of wine, then there was two different testimonies, and they don't combine.
It wasn't the barrel.
They both, Washi says, they neither witnessed any transaction. They both witnessed a hoda'ah, an admission. And one time he admitted owing money to the amount of a barrel of wine. Yeah, I am a barrel of wine. And the other time he said, no, I am a barrel of oil. But he meant the money. He borrowed it and he needs to pay it back, for example. Maybe he had borrowed it. And at one time he says, I borrowed off him a barrel of wine, I should pay it back. And the other one says, you know, I borrowed off him a barrel of oil, I should pay it back. So what he borrowed is irrelevant, because now what he owes him back is the monetary obligation. So from that monetary obligation, we can subtract. And that's what joins together. Tom, we've got a few minutes left. Let's get to the Mishnah with Hashem's help. Achadomer bidiyota helyona. Achadomer bidiyota hatochtana. One says it took place in a higher diet and a lower diet. Diata. Diyota here means upper story and a lower story. Right? What happens if the witnesses, this is a supplementary question, Rabbi Yaakov, mm-hmm. One says it took place on the upper floor, and one says it took place on a lower floor. I saw him lend money in yeshiva. He was on the third floor, he was on the fourth floor. I thought it was on the fourth floor he lent it. No, I thought it was on the third floor. Does that contradict, or do we accept those two witnesses and allow them to join the testimony together? What happens? Amar Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina says, Maaseh ba lefnei Rebbe. This incident came before Rebbe. But Seiref Edotan. And he combined their testimony.
Why?
Let's see what Rashi says. Seiref Edotan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha. Because he followed Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha. The Tarvehu Maneh Machayev. Because both of them had the same amount of money. A Maneh.
So it's the
but Abal Gav, the Machshishay, but the Bidikot, and even though they contradict each other in the Bidikot, in the supplementary questions, Kedir Rabbi Huda, like Rabbi Huda. So even though we see that this is a contradiction in supplementary questions, but not in the actual Ikar itself, and therefore we allowed it. The questions were not Ikar. Where it took place is not Ikar. It was on the high floor.
So the question I have is, it's just one question that they fail, and every other supplementary question they get right.
We don't know. Don't know.
Okay.
So Connor, I know where you're going, but I don't know. Maybe after failing all the other supplementary questions, they give up and say this is just two different testimonies. But we know on the basis of this one, on if this was the difference between them, it was allowed. Umenayin, last bit of the Mishnah. Umenayin Kiyat say, how do we know that when he leaves? What did we say there in the Mishnah? We said like this, the brighter now brings exactly the wording about Mishnah. So we don't need to look back in the Mishnah, it's the exact. Tanu Rabbanan, we're talking the brighter. Minayin Kiyat say, lo yamar, how do we know that when he leaves the court, he shouldn't say, Haireni Mezaker, I found you innocent. But they found you guilty. I found you innocent, guilty, but talking about money, right? About ma'aseh shechavrei rabu alai. But what can I do without numbers, right? Three guys on the court. I went for you. It's the other two guys that messed you up. Sorry, I was with you 100%. Right? How do I know you shouldn't say that? Talmud lomar says lo talech v'chil b'mecha. Right? Don't go around gossiping. You're right. This is the way, whether or not this is rechilut. We looked at it, is this rechilut to say, right, causes an animosity between Am Yisrael when you say, they weren't against you, I was for you, but. Lo telech rachil b'amecha, v'omer, and it says, holech rachil megaleh sod. It also says, the person who goes around with Rachel with saying gossiping, Megalesod.
Can't be a spy.
Right? He reveals secrets. Reveals secrets. Shouldn't be drinking either. Yechnas Yain. You got to say something.
Milk you can drink.
Right, that's why preservers don't drink. Right, because we don't want to reveal secrets. So, all the secrets of the Rebbe. Right, the Gemara finishes by saying, Hahu Talmidah. There was once a Talmid, the Nafik Aleha, who, Kala, that came out against him, a Kala, a voice, a rumor. It was a rumor came out against him. Why? What does the rumor? The Galei Nilta, that he revealed a matter. The Itmar Bay Midrash that was said in the Bay Midrash. Right, he revealed something said in the Bay Midrash. Sometimes you're allowed to say stuff that was in the Bay Midrash, and sometimes not. Right, you're meant to go around teaching what you learned in the Bay Midrash. But other things are not to be revealed. Right, we see that in the Gemara, that some things are not to be revealed to the public, because if they knew, they would rely on usually a cooler leniency to get out of doing stuff that they should be doing. So don't tell them that, right, that actually the Torah doesn't prohibit you from. So they, yeah, it's a different, yeah, because it's also not appropriate. It's a different thing he's saying. Some things are not for the public, right?
No,
so machloket in the yeshiva and like, guys, this is it, you know, and whatever.
I do podcast.
Yeah, well, I know you do, but so you're Megalesod, right? Yeah. You're this Talmud, they're talking about you. There were lots of Talmuds that were revealing secrets from the Beit Midrash. Oh, Yaakov. It says Rashi says podcasting. Yes.
No, but like they translated it times Rav Torah's
after. Kate said halachet there, but podcast says Rashi, right?
No, but actually Rav Torah's asking to edit out stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just finish this because Rav Ward is going to come in and have to stop. What's the last line say? So what happened? He revealed secrets in the Beit Midrash. After 22 years, why 22 I have no idea, but it's probably very meaningful. Now if you know Kabbalah and Gematria, why 22 years? Also 22 years, 20 plus an extra 2, right? That was the time that. Yaakov, 20 no plus an extra 2 years returning back. He spent a year and a half in Sukkot and another 6 months in Beitel. Right? Okay. So after 22 years, Afke Rav Ami mi Beit Risha. Rav Ami threw him out of the study hall. And then 22 years from when? Or it happened 22 years ago and now they just found out it was him. Probably. I don't think they waited 22 years to get rid of him. They probably 22 years later they found out it was him that revealed the secret. Maybe, I don't know, I'm assuming.
Does Rashi say anything?
Amar Dein Galei Raza, saying this one is one who revealed secrets. 22 years ago he revealed a secret and now they're kicking him out. He did it once, come on. 22 years ago they kicked him out for revealing secrets. So
who was it?
Keep the podcast anonymous and you'll be fine.
Does this mean I'm going to hell?
No, chas v'shalom.
You say the name?
You can do teshuva. No, that's
the woman. You say the name?
Who was? No, the Talmud. Sometimes they actually they do say who the people were, but yeah.
What is Rashi saying?
I don't think it does. Hold on, let's have a look. Bater asked the Tarot in Shanim after 22 years. The Itmal Beit Midrasha Afkei Ahu Tamida. But the Vala Shon Hara Haya. Because it was said in the Beit Midrash, Afkeya Hu, and they took him out, but the Vala Shon Hara Haya. He said it was a matter of Lashon Hara. So here Rashi is kind of, is being more, he's lessening the harifness of this. It wasn't simply that he revealed something, Rashi says it was Lashon Hara. Actually, he wouldn't have been thrown out of Beit Midrash just for revealing something that was said. Stam. Right? To reveal secrets is not great, but it's not like such a big crime. But it must have been Lashon Hara that he said, and that's why he was thrown out.
So what would be considered a secret?
I don't know. If we knew what the secrets were, then we know how to reveal them, but we don't know what the secrets are, so we don't have to worry that we might reveal something.